You're listening to Omega Man Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8.
The clock is operating. We're underway.
Take a ride, grab your coffee,
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Want to give everybody a few extra moments to get in here for the program. Welcome aboard. I'm excited to be with Michael W. Smith of HardcoreChristianity.com. They know how to get the job done for Jesus over there. And I like to put that siren out there to put fear into the ranks of the demons. They know that when they hear that noise, that we're coming for them. No demon is safe with Truth of Deliverance Ministry. The gospel of Jesus Christ over these airwaves. Brother Michael, would you like to open us up in prayer?
I would. Thank you, sir. How's the mic check sound?
Oh, you sound perfect.
Okay, well, thank you. Father God, thank you for this golden opportunity to be on Omega Man Radio. I love it. And I know that you're going to bless your word tonight and then commensurately bless someone you love. Looking forward to it. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I say amen to that. Brother Michael, have you ever been on my friend Bill French, Luke 418 radio program yet?
No, but I'd sure like to be on it.
Okay, what about Sheila Zielinski?
Now count me in.
Okay, well, I'm going to be contacting both of them tonight because I just thought about that. Man, we got to get you connected with some of these people that that I also know and get the word out because you're doing a fantastic work over there. Before you bring the teaching tonight, give us some testimony. Did y'all just have a meeting?
Yeah, we have them all the time. We never shut down for any reason, holidays or anything like that. We never close. So, in addition, we have a counseling center at the Arizona Deliverance Center, and that never closes either. We do private one-on-one counseling sessions and deliverance year-round. We don't have any time off at all.
Man.
Holidays, Christmas, we're on, Thanksgiving, you name it. Doors are open because, as the Bible teaches, the Holy Ghost and the devil, they don't take days off.
That's the truth. And what have you seen in some of your recent meetings? Are you seeing people coming in tormented by demons?
On a continuum. Almost 20 years now, the level of demonic infestation has accelerated dramatically over the last 7 or 8 years. And we're starting to get a lot more people who are ill and a lot more people who are sicker than they used to be.
Now we're talking.
The system's cracking, and everybody knows why, particularly among young people. The spirits are transferring into people quickly and easily now because of A, social media, and B, Satan's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Pornhub. That's his biggest monster he ever created. And that thing is literally all over the planet. Pornhub. And you click on there within seconds, you're into hardcore pornography within seconds. Anybody can click on it.
God have mercy.
And it's the most vicious thing anybody's ever seen. So, as you can imagine, lust demons are spreading like wildfire now, and mental illness demons are also spreading rapidly. Here in the United States, we're seeing spikes all over the place in suicides, cases of bipolar, cases of schizophrenia. And here in America, things are going down particularly quickly because every sin you can imagine is now legalized. Gambling is all over the place, and people are going bankrupt all over the country. Pot has swept almost every state in the United States, believe it or not. Pot.
Yes.
People are smoking pot like you can't believe. And, of course, they've always smoked it dramatically over the years. But now, because of the cartels, we're noticing the pot that you buy at the dispensary here in the United States isn't the same pot they're bringing over the border. And that pot from the cartels is causing a rash of suicide ideation and schizophrenia.
Wow.
And counseling centers and therapists and social workers and, you know, people like me and psychologists and so on being inundated with people developing two things on this Mexican marijuana, schizophrenia and psychoses. And it's becoming an epidemic. And as a result of this, mind control spirits are sweeping the United States. And the mind control spirits are the hardest ones to get out. Once they get in and get a foothold, they dig in like an Alabama tick. And they're extremely difficult to get out of their victims. So the situation is worsening here in America like you wouldn't believe. We're starting to see that at the Deliverance Center. There aren't very many true deliverance ministries in the United States. There's a lot of people that do deliverance, and I use that term loosely, but none of it is very effective on these people who are heavily infected and developing what we call here in Arizona SMIs, the seriously mentally ill. It's starting to become like a pandemic in a way.
We're live with Michael W. Smith. And he's going to get into a teaching in a moment. But let me ask you a question. Do you think the marijuana being imported is a more potent strain? Or do you think it's being
far
manipulated
more.
In other ways, too, to open up the door, make it easier for the enemy just to take over people? You know, a number of these cartels, what I'm getting at with that is, we think about the possibility that in addition to altering the physical strain, that there is also more witchcraft being done over these drugs, because a number of the cartels have been linked up to brujeria. And, of course, the patron saint of the cartels, thieves, the hookers south of the border is El Muerte, Santa Muerte. It's this ghoul, skeleton dressed in a cloak with a sickle. And this is what they pray to. I've interviewed some of these people. And they worship this demon. I wonder if they're not doing some rituals also. It's like it was said years ago that witches would pray over these records before they go out. I wonder if there's also a concerted effort by the witches to attach demons to this stuff. So that when people take it, it just takes them out. I mean, what's your thought? Could that be in the realm of possibility?
No, it's not a possibility. It's a probability. There's no question it's happening.
They mean business south of the border, folks, and in these countries. And, of course, what's this other drug that you can even touch it?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl. Took out Prince, apparently. Took him out.
Yes.
They found him dead in his home. Folks, what is going on here? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And back to the Pornhub for a moment. When I was in Las Vegas here a few weeks ago, had to shut down a storage unit. I was staying at the Suncoast Hotel, and I turned on the TV, and they have this in-hotel entertainment system, and you could get pay-per-view. There was a whole channel there of porn. I clicked on buy it. It's so easy now for anybody to hit, as you mentioned, the Pornhub. Do you think the very act of clicking on Pornhub and going there can hook somebody, and does that give the demons the legal right to come on in?
Well, it's more than a hook. I've counseled sex addicts quite a bit over the years, and I've had a number of them tell me that while they were on their phone or their laptop, they actually felt some kind of strange energy come into their face and their brain. The spirits actually come right in now. And if you're a third grader and you can click two clicks and you're on Pornhub, if you're in fourth grade, and the spirits just move right into the child's brain. Pornhub is the most dangerous thing we've ever seen.
And what will be some of the ramifications of people who open up the door to these porn spirits?
What happens is the spirits enter their body, and they usually get in pre-puberty. They get in before that. And so if the demon gets in at that young an age, they then morph the child's gender identity and their sexuality. So that as the child goes through puberty, they start to develop same-sex attractions, or they start to develop non-cisgender issues, and they start questioning their gender. And that's why we've seen such a spike in transgenderism in the United States. These spirits get in their brains, and they morph their sexuality. It's at a pandemic level practically now.
You know, I remember the Bible verse says, if you break the hedge, the viper will bite. So God put a hedge of protection around us, even back to Adam and Eve, and they broke that hedge through sin. God was trying to protect them, I think, from the wild animals outside of that garden. There were some things on the outside, many believe. But when we open up that door, demons are invited in. We've come into agreement with them. Nobody forces you to go look at Pornhub, although it is also true that you'll be on Facebook and you'll see these ads pop up, or on YouTube. And there's stuff that's in your face. I saw one the other day. It was pretty vulgar. And I clicked on it, the X, you know, to report it as offensive material. So I want to play something for you. This is something I just picked up a few hours ago. This is an actor. He was an Iron Man in many movies, Empire. His name is Terrence Howard, and he's being interviewed and asked about his method for getting into a character that he's going to play. Listen to this. Give me some comments.
About the process of acting. And you said that sometimes when you walk off, they walk off with your clothes.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Well, as an actor, as you're more like a medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really get there, you know, you go into this zone and you really divorce yourself of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become a garment that something else puts on. Now,
right.
A lot of people sit up there and do impersonations of other folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of allowing that spirit, you know. But I sit up and I'll pray for a little bit and go in a dark place,
mm-hmm.
go in a bathroom, turn off the lights, look in the mirror. We'll have light on at first, and then after 1 minute, turn the light off and, you know, and search until you see your own glow, your own aura, and then you watch it change.
Wow.
And it's a scary thing,
yeah.
because you'll feel like some hands are on you,
wow.
and you lose a little bit of control of what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if you stay with it, you know, you'll be inhabited by mm-hmm. something, and then you walk out, and the character's wow. with you, and you got to know how to say goodbye to it.
Right.
If you really want to
yeah,
get there.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people are afraid, mm-hmm. you know, to empty themselves mm-hmm. and be filled up with something else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as an actor, you're an emotional prostitute.
Wow.
You know, you put on whatever you need for the John. You put mm-hmm. on, you're turning a trick. You're turning an emotional trick.
Wow.
And it's nothing yeah. more glorious
yeah.
than that.
Okay. So.
Now, what did you just hear from that interview, Michael?
Well, that was remarkable. Most actors know what he's talking about, but none of them talk about it like that.
Exactly.
That was very revealing and very unusual.
So he goes in the bathroom, looks at the mirror, and then after about a minute, turns off the light, begins to empty himself, and then he feels hands many times on his body. And he loses control for a moment. The demon is coming and possessing him. And then he said, well, you got to know how to, when to tell it to go, basically. You know, this guy is invoking evil spirits to come in, channeling them, so he can play whatever actor and have that edge. So mm-hmm. he's emptying himself. Something's going to come and feel an evil spirit. Very sad, but you know, I'm very glad that someone told the truth, because there's several other actors that do that too. But where I'm going with this is he's opening a door, and look what's coming in. Could be a parallel to going to these websites like Pornhub, or hitting that weed? Are we opening doors, those that would do that, to infestation?
Well, of course, and as you mentioned a couple months ago when I was on your show, you were telling me about the incident with Beyonce. And that's another person who, like this guy, actually told us what was going on and how she has this spirit give her this illustrious power to entertain. And it's exactly the same thing, just what you just said.
Folks, if you open the door, demons are going to come in. You break that hedge, the viper will bite. We're to submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. Give no place to the enemy. Sadly, this actor, Terrence, we've got to pray for him, is giving a place to the enemy to come in. It's actually taking him over. And then he said in another interview, I had to go away for a while to a dark place. They said, what for? And he said, well, I had to get ready for this new role. You know, he had to prepare, I think. He played one time as a serial killer. Look at Heath Ledger. He locked himself away and went to his dark place. The demons came in, and he came out and played the role of the Joker. I think got a nominated for an Academy Award, whatever the case was. It cost him his life. You open the door, these demons will come in. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. Very dangerous to open these doors, because when the demons come in, they're coming to stay. And with that, we're going to get started tonight. Brother Michael, the microphone is yours. Take all the time you want.
Well, one more thing on what you highlighted there. I was counseling a woman a few weeks ago who I was having difficulty explaining to her that her prior sins had allowed spirits to enter her body and they were in her brain. And she was struggling to understand that, A, and B, believe me. And so after a while, I wasn't making any headway, and I said to her, look, why don't we, I'll reschedule your appointment. Tonight I want you to go home, and I want you to go stand in your bathroom, turn on the light, and stare into the mirror very quietly and stare right into your pupils. And then I want you to turn the light off and keep staring right into your pupils while it's pitch dark in your bathroom.
Wow.
And I've done this several times over the years, and she liked a freak, and I told her, you'll see him staring back at you in there.
Whoa.
And she did, and then she came in a week or so later for deliverance.
My goodness. These things are like parasites. They'll burrow into body parts. They'll hang out there, and then they'll lurk around until the worst possible occasion for you and I, and they surface to take you and I out in a body bag or destroy you. Keep on going, my friend. The mic is yours.
I wanted to say I only said that because that actor just testified to that.
Wow.
He just said that. And then secondly, if I could, I just want to mention that I very rarely do that. It's only on difficult cases that they don't get any revelation at all, or they're in denial or something.
You were trying to expose.
I've used it sparingly over the years.
Sure. This guy, he invited in. This lady, she already had it in. And you're trying to expose it and show her the reality of what she had inside that needs to come out, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And I only mentioned that because he had mentioned it.
Absolutely, folks. This is real stuff. Real stuff. The problem is, how are you going to get them out once they get in? Well, there's hope. With that, we're going to get started tonight. Michael W. Smith, HardcoreChristianity.com. Look him up on the web, and it's over to you.
All right, well, thank you. They had Pornhub about 2,800 years ago, but it wasn't known as Pornhub then. It happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And you know the story very well. King David was supposed to be with his army in war, and he was supposed to be with his men, and they were fighting the Ammonites, and he wasn't. He stayed home, and he had a wonderful dinner, had a wonderful day. He goes up on the roof of his palace, and you know, he's two or two and a half stories high, and he looks across the street and he sees this gal, you know, to use a slang term, working a pole. Bathsheba was outside taking a bath. And so this was essentially Pornhub. And at that moment, King David's lust demons manifested huge watching this woman. And it got so bad, he asked about her. You remember the story. He inquired about the woman, 2 Samuel 11. And they said, no, listen, she's married to one of our better soldiers who's right now fighting the Ammonites. He's at war. And she's married. And the lust demons that entered him on that roof were so powerful that he couldn't stop it. He had opened a door that was so bad that it says in verse 3 and 4, he inquired about the woman. And then it says he sent messengers to go get her. And this is the same situation I see in the counseling sessions. I've been a counselor now for over 40 years. These spirits enter you and they cause you to do things, feel things, and think things you would never do under normal circumstances. And they're so powerful that it's almost like it's not you anymore. And many people I've counseled over the years with rage issues literally click into another person for a short period of time. And when it's over, they have this sensation, almost like a strange aura around them, like, why did I do that? How did I do that? That wasn't me, so to speak. That's how powerful these demons are. They can actually get you to, in a way, disassociate. And so David knows that adultery is a capital offense in Israel, and you get stoned. And that didn't stop him. He knew that sleeping with a soldier's wife was going to bring shame and humiliation on him if he ever got caught. And his demons cause him to take the risk. And these spirits are very dangerous. They give you a sense of security that's fake. And you feel, in a way, kind of like, in some way, invincible, so to speak. Like you're above restitution or retribution. And the story, as you know, goes that he slept with her, and then soon after that, she contacted him again and said, "Hey, you know, I'm pregnant." And then King David's fear demons take over his personality. He becomes petrified because he committed a capital offense by committing adultery, and the woman's married. So he goes through an elaborate process. You've read the story. You know all about it. You know, he set up a series of escape routes that, and none of them worked. He brought Uriah back and welcomed him back, got some information about how the battle was going. Then said, "Well, go on home to your wife now, and it's all good." And he wouldn't do it because Uriah, unlike King David, had some integrity. He had integrity, so he slept with the servants. And then the next night, King David said, "Look, why don't you go home? I'm gonna send you a buffet. You're gonna get all the great food I eat. You guys can have a wonderful evening together." He didn't bite on it again. And the third time, King David got him drunk because he figured, obviously, with alcohol, your sex drive's going to open up and he'll go home and sleep with his wife. And the guy wouldn't do it. And then David, the demons told him, "Hey, you've got to kill this guy. It's either him or you. He dies or you die." And that's what he did. He sent him to back the battle. You remember he put him on, to use a World War II term, he went to the Russian front. And everybody that went to the Russian front, that was a death sentence. Everybody died. Well, what had happened, unbeknownst to King David, was these spirits that you pick up from what we were talking about, this powerful pot, this Pornhub exposure, these powerful demons that enter your body and they get in your brain. And he didn't know that he had just triggered one of the most horrible things that can ever happen to a family, and those are generational curses. He triggered a tsunami in his own family, and he was going to suffer enormous pain the rest of his life because the curse never left his family. And these lust demons, as you know, went right down the family tree and got into his children. For example, Amnon, who was one of his sons, firstborn son, fell in love with his half-sister Tamar. You remember the story? And he was so obsessed with her and so infected with these spirits. These lust demons will cause you to do things and say things that you would never normally do under normal circumstances. To use a slang term, if you were in your right mind. These demons cause you to take chances. They cause you to have desires that are overwhelming. In the counseling field, of course, we call them obsessions. And sometimes we call it an obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. Well, he had developed this demonic obsession for his half-sister, Tamar. They had the same father but different mothers. And he was so demonically obsessed with her, that he and a friend set up a series of lies, just like King David. And they got her to come to him. He pretended to be sick. He got it cleared through King David, and King David obviously has no discernment whatsoever with lust demons. He's the one that gave everybody the lust demons. He had no idea what was going on, of course. And they sent her into the lion's den, and the guy raped her. And he destroyed her life, because back in the day, 2,800 years ago, women's virginity was the most important thing about them. And if you were not a virgin, you couldn't get married. You couldn't have any kids. You had public shame. Your family was shamed. It was awful. It was horrible. And then, of course, what happened was the same thing that happens to all kinds of men. Very common for men to have a tremendous obsession, a very powerful lust and sexual desire for someone, a very powerful romantic desire, and it becomes extremely volatile. And then after they get the woman, or after they start dating them, or after they're married, shortly after they're married, a supernatural event occurs. They lose interest in the person. It happens all the time, and they're sitting there thinking, what did I see in that person? Why did I want that person so bad? Why was I so sexually attracted to them? Why was I so emotionally attracted to them? What happened? And what people don't understand and don't know, these are demonic obsessions for sex and romance and companionship. And they become obsessed with somebody, and then when they finally get the person, they're not interested anymore. Happens a lot with men. Women too. So Amnon is so disgusted with her and so full of guilt at what he had done that he kicked her out and locked the door. You remember that? 2 Samuel 13. And she never did get married, and she lived the rest of her life in shame. Well, then the Bible says that King David, of course, the person that started all this, was extremely angry when it happened, it says. But he did nothing about it. He let Amnon off, because King David was a codependent parent. And codependent parents, through obsessive love and care and concern, actually end up destroying their child, because they become overprotective. And they don't force the child to face reality. They shelter them too much. And the child usually grows up spoiled or undisciplined, unproductive, or a failure. And Amnon raped her and got off. Well, her brother, as you know, Absalom was Tamar's full brother, pretended to be okay with it to Amnon, but in his heart, he developed an obsessive rage for him. And as Jesus explained on the Sermon on the Mount, if you are enraged by your brother, for your brother in Christ, you're in danger of hellfire. Rage is a pathway to hell you can't conceive nor believe. Those are extremely powerful spirits that can cause a person to disassociate during periods of rage. They'll actually do things, say things, hurt people or murder people during this disassociation period that they don't even remember when they're done. They can't remember when they've done it, after they've done it. And Amnon, because he was so angry at Amnon, Absalom hated him and secretly started to hate King David, his dad, because King David didn't do anything about it. And the demons kept telling Absalom, listen, King David is unjust. He's a terrible father. He betrayed Tamar. And Absalom started to develop a deep-seated hatred for David and a desire to murder Amnon. Where'd those demons come from? Well, let's think about it for a second. David murdered Uriah and let the murder spirits in. And now these demons, once they get in, they go down the family tree and start picking off the kids. And generational curses are easy to see because they leave patterns in the family. For example, you'll see one family loaded down with a bunch of alcoholics. You'll see another family loaded down with a bunch of drug addicts. You'll see another family loaded down with a bunch of felons and criminals and lots of people in prison or jail. You'll see another family with patterns of sin. For example, you'll see families with, you know, it seems like a whole bunch of people keep coming down with cancer. A bunch of people keep coming down with mental illness. That's how you can follow a generational curse. It comes right down the family tree. You'll see different people in the tree having the same or similar symptoms. And here you see a generational curse that David brought in, now going down the family tree of murder and lust. He opened the door to murder and lust. And these curses went right down the family tree. Well, Absalom develops this hatred for King David because he wouldn't do anything about Amnon and because he had betrayed Tamar. So he starts to hate him. And of course, you've read the story. This leads to his rebellion and the murder of Amnon. He murders Amnon. And he's gone for 3 years with his maternal grandfather. King David, who loves him because he's a codependent parent, has him come back but doesn't see him for another 2 years. So he hadn't seen King David for 5 years. But during this period of time, Absalom's hatred of his father continues to grow. And then when King David lets him back in, once again, a codependent parent always ends up destroying their children. Absalom rebels. He gets a group together and he gets an army and he takes over. And King David flees in fear and abandons the kingdom to Absalom. And then Absalom finds out that King David left behind his concubines. There were 10 of them. So he takes the concubines up to the rooftop. And remember, it was the rooftop that got King David in trouble and placed all these curses on his family. It was the rooftop that killed him. That's where the demons got him. And he rapes all 10 concubines in public on the roof, where King David's sin originated. And then King David rallies the soldiers and comes back. And as you know, Absalom's people lost the war with King David. And 20,000 people died in that war. We would call it a family feud. Absalom flees for his life. You know the story, got caught in the tree, and King David put out the word and said, if you find him, do not hurt him. He's my son. I love him. And as you know, is Joab, his most faithful servant, who now hates King David too because he doesn't respect him, murders Absalom in cold blood. You remember stabbing him in the chest, I think, 3 times and kills him. And so you see this pattern, this generational curse pattern developing. moving right down the family tree. And once this horrible thing gets started, it's impossible to stop. And it just keeps going. And then you see these demons getting stronger as they go down the tree. And that's what normally happens. On generational curses, most of the time, not every time, most of the time, they get stronger as they go down the tree. So King David hands the kingdom over to Solomon. Adonijah was supposed to have it because he was the older brother. But he loses the kingdom to Solomon. And so Adonijah comes to Bathsheba and says, you know, I'd really like to have Abishag, one of King David's wives, you know. And Abishag was, you know, what we would call, you know, slang term, drop dead gorgeous. You remember she was the woman that they found for King David in his old age, because he was sick and he was constantly cold and he shivered all night long. So they found Abishag after a long search. They found the most gorgeous woman they could get their hands on. You know, she looked like Bathsheba when she was young. And she would sleep with King David and hold him, and he would hold her so he would stop freezing. He'd stop getting cold, stop shivering, so he could get some sleep. Well, Adonijah picked up lust demons from who? Well, take a big guess. And then he gets the hots for Abishag, and he goes to Bathsheba and then asks her to ask Solomon, hey, I need permission to have her as my wife. Well, Solomon's insulted by it because he felt it was embarrassing. Number one, he wanted to sleep with their dad's wife. Secondly, it was a secret plot to try and get the kingdom back, because if anything happened to Solomon, Adonijah, being married to one of King David's wives, would be the obvious choice for a replacement. So the curse then manifests again as Solomon murders Adonijah, kills him. Then, again, the generational curse gets stronger as it goes down the tree, usually, not every time, but usually. And King Solomon then, who was a great king up until this one point where the lust demons got him, he married a princess from Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter. And this was a direct conflict of the commandments of God, because the Lord had told the Jews, do not marry any of these women from other countries, because they're idolaters. And they'll bring idolatry into Israel, and the country will be destroyed. And so Solomon, overcome by these powerful lust demons, marries this daughter of Pharaoh. Then, you know, the rest of the story ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines. An unheard number of women. The whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, I've got one wife, and I can't take care of her. I mean, she, you know, how do you take care of more than one wife? I have no idea. How do you take care of 700 wives? You got to be stone cold possessed for that. And he was. King Solomon went from being the most intelligent man that ever lived and the wealthiest man that ever lived. He would be at the top of Forbes 400 list right now if he were still alive. And he was the most intelligent man that ever lived. He had an IQ that was off the chart. You couldn't measure his intelligence with the Stanford Binet or the Wechsler or the Weiss. None of these psychological instruments that I've used over the years as a secular counselor. You couldn't even measure his intelligence. He was off the charts intelligent. Solomon was a freak of a human being. And God had given him this incredible intelligence and this wisdom that was just off the chain, unbelievable. But these lust demons, after spending years tempting him, and when they got Pharaoh's daughter in there, she was the domino that started the end. And that was the domino that fell over, that led to the destruction of the nation of Israel. And Solomon became the biggest sex addict in the history of the world. I mean, nobody could compete with him. I doubt if Nimrod could have even taken him. And he was probably the most wicked human being that ever walked the planet. And so you see these demons, it's the same pattern, right? You can see the demons coming down the family tree. You see this horror of the generational curse of murder and lust. That was King David's demonic legacy to his family. He was codependent, who entered and left his family at the mercy of lust demons and murder spirits. And Solomon became the biggest sex addict that ever lived. And ended up writing the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you look at the Hero of Faith chapter that Paul wrote in Hebrews, which was Hebrews chapter 11, that was the hall of fame of God's men and women of faith and power. That was the hall of fame. He's not even mentioned. Solomon's not even mentioned. And that's probably because he died and went to hell. And that led to the destruction of the nation of Israel. You remember after that, the nation split in the northern and southern kingdom. Israel at the north and Judah in the south. And they were constantly at war. And Israel, the northern kingdom, never had a good king. All of them were bad. Judah had a few good ones. But Israel never had a decent king after that. And this was all caused by Solomon, because God invoke judgment on him that would fall on his children, his successor. And the whole system was literally destroyed. And God would have wiped out everything if it hadn't been for his love and his faithfulness to King David and to the father of faith, the man of God, Abraham. So he left Judah as a remnant for the coming of the Messiah. But the northern kingdom was, they were constantly at wars, constantly being taken captive, constantly being dumped into slavery, constantly having their women raped and their children murdered. All this horror came upon Israel because of one guy who went on a roof and one woman who took a bath in public so he would see her. Bathsheba was part of it. But it all fell on King David and his family. And so this very scenario of these generational curses we're facing right here in our society. And this is the stuff we face at the Arizona Deliverance Center all the time. People come in with generational curses on them from the sin of their family tree. Much of it is witchcraft. Much of it's sorcery. Much of it's drugs and alcohol. And you look up the family tree there and you see, oh my God, here's where it started. Or there's where it started. This person was involved in that. And many people come in who have kundalini spirits and familiar spirits, from Roman Catholicism, and you look up their family tree, and they've had all kinds of Catholic people were involved in spiritualism. You look up the family tree and you see masonry. And you look down the tree, and these Mason demons are superpowered. They're like on steroids. They come down the tree and you see all kinds of people with mental illnesses and people committing suicide, dying young, people with weird illnesses that don't respond to surgery or medicine. This is what these curses look like, and this is how they manifest in people's lives.
Mike, you're right on. We're live with Michael W. Smith. You know, Solomon, he raised up altars to Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, to Milcom, the disgusting idol of the Ammonites, it says, to Chemosh, the disgusting idol of Moab, and Molech of the Ammonites. That's four that are listed right there. Those are some of the worst of the worst. Child sacrifice. Put a baby right into the furnace in Molech's belly. This is wicked. He was taken out. He disobeyed the Lord. Opened up the door for the enemy. The enemy came in and took him out. I don't see where he ever repented. In fact, when God comes and tells him that he's going to take the kingdom away and give it to another, but he'll leave one for David, his servant's sake, what happened when he died? His son takes over, and it happens just like God said. He says, you know, basically, my father ruled you with a whip, so I'm going to rule you with the sting of a scorpion, paraphrased. And he was right. A cruel young man, and the kingdom was rent from him. And again, I think Solomon is in hell tonight. I see no place where I can read that he repented. If I'm wrong,
I agree.
So be it. It took him out, man. He became obsessed, demon-possessed. Not obsessed, demon-possessed. Let's just call it what it is, folks. People become possessed. Now, I differ in the definition of possessed, Michael, than maybe some people do. I don't think the King James got it wrong at all. Now, I know that Derek Prince used the word demonized. And others will say oppressed, you know. Whatever. But, you know, if you're driving your car over there in Phoenix and you're going up the road, you come up to a stoplight, Michael, and two thugs, the stoplight, they come out of nowhere and they put a Glock 9mm right through your car window because you maybe rolled your window down, they stick it through there, and they command you to get out. And they end up taking you. And they tie you up, throw you in the trunk, and now they jump in the car and they're going to take it for a joyride. They don't own the car. You do, or the bank does if you're making payments on it. But they don't own it. But they are in possession of it. They got the keys. And they got the person bound up and tied up in the trunk. And they're going to take you for a joyride. And then they're going to hit it, pedal the metal and probably go 100 miles an hour and go right into a brick wall, total the whole thing. At no time did they own it, but they were in possession of the car keys. And so we need to get off this, I think it's a religious spirit that's keeping many people in the church from being free, because the entire time I grew up in the Church of God, they said, oh, Christian can't go inside of a Christian can't have a demon. Don't you know the demon can't get past the blood? And so I never saw deliverance growing up. They preached the gospel. They spoke in tongues. They laid hands on the sick that they'd be healed. I saw interpretation of the tongues. I saw gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had altar calls. Never saw deliverance. Yet I saw problem after problem in many people's lives, including mine, that was a result of demons. and those demons had safe haven in that church and have safe haven in most churches today because we've got spiritual pride to think that a Christian can't have a demon. So I say, get over it. Whatever term you want to use, but you got demons out there. Just about everybody's got demons. Now, you're going to keep them or you're going to get free. There's no shame in saying you need help. The shame is that we've got people that need freedom and they've been lied to. I think that that's one of the greatest disservices to the body of Christ is to say a Christian can't have a demon. I think the other one is that Jesus is coming back tonight. He could come back at any moment. Well, the Bible says there's certain legal parameters that precursors to his return. And I don't think we've seen them all yet.
No.
Now, that's not a salvation issue if you believe Christ coming back tonight. I think we should be ready to meet him if we die tonight. But clearly, I think we're going to go through some roughage. I think we're going to be here to the last trump, immediately after the tribulation of those days. But now, I think even a greater I think it's a disservice because people are being taught that they don't have to worry about persecution, tribulation. They're going to be out here before all trouble starts. And that's bad because when it hits them, many are going to be offended and are going to fall away. Just like Jesus said in the parable of the sowers. Anon with joy they received the gospel, but when persecution came for the sake of Christ, paraphrased, they got offended and they fell away. They didn't walk with God anymore. They turned on him. They took the mark. Whatever. And that's bad enough. People are going to go to hell for that because they're going to take the mark before it's over with and say, why did you lie to me? Well, I'm still here. Where's my rapture? I was supposed to be on the first class ticket out. First flight out before all this stuff happened that they write about in Revelation. That's bad enough, Michael. But what is even worse is that a Christian can't have a demon. So, you know, I maintain that, yeah, you can have anything you open the door to. And while the enemy doesn't own you and I, he can certainly possess a part of us where we have given place to the enemy to come in until that is we take it back by force and command of the demon to get out and kick it out, evict it in Jesus' name. You know, you own a hotel, they don't own the hotel, but they can possess a room in that hotel. A point I'm making here, let's get off even that vernacular. How about just admit to the fact that you got something inside of you that needs to come out, and it's called an unclean spirit. You can call it a devil, demon, evil spirit, whatever you want to call it. Same result. It's inside of you, and it wants to stay inside of you and me and operate and build a stronghold and then destroy those around us and then take us out in a body bag through suicide. That would be the Satan's ultimate victory, to get you and I to kill ourselves. Do the job for him that he's trying to do.
Right.
Dear God, bust hell wide open. You know, that's one sin that I don't see where we can repent of. I maintain that if you commit any of the Ten Commandments, it's a terrible thing to do and there's a price you're going to pay, but you can repent and be forgiven. I don't recommend breaking them. But how do you repent of murdering yourself? When you're dead, the spirit leaves the body, how are you going to repent? You're dead. So I wouldn't take a chance that God may understand your pain. And so you want to, you know, you want to just end your life. No, that's a trick of the enemy. He wants to take you right to hell. That's a fast track to hell, in my opinion. You know, hey, I'm going to speak the truth, let the chips fall, they may. We all got our demons. Now, you're going to keep them is the question, or you want to be free? And I believe that, just as you said, there are some of these demons operating in turbo mode, Michael. And they found some ways to get in really quick. And look at how people are inviting them in. Inhaling them in. Drinking them in. Coming right through the eye gate. We're coming into agreement with demons when you click on that Pornhub portal. The late John McAfee, who did one program with me, and then he died a mysterious death. Some believe he suicided. Others believe he was murdered. I don't know. But I got one program with him, and he was an interesting guy. And I'll tell you, man, I was calling him just to remind him I had a show that night. And he answered the phone, and I've never heard anybody speak so foul. This guy was nasty. I overlooked it and brought him on the program. And, of course, he didn't speak like that on the show, but boy, he needed deliverance big time. And he said on this very program, he said, if you've ever went to any of these porn sites like Pornhub, whatever they are, it only takes once. And what he said is, how do you think these companies make their money? He said, they have just injected your program with keylogging software. And what is going to happen now is you went over there to feast your eyes on that porno. Now they're going to siphon your funds. They've injected keylogger software, spyware, on your phone. It's now contaminated. You know, you took the Trojan horse and brought it in, if you will.
Yeah.
You've got a virus now on your program, on your phone. I think the only way to get it off, you're going to have to reformat your entire phone system, folks, because we've talked to people who are addicted to porn. Your phone's already compromised. But beyond that, you got demons now that are going to addict you to it, and what you feed is going to grow, what you starve is going to die, and they're going to pull you in there and pull you down into sexual confusion. And I've heard the testimony, Michael, of some of the serial killers, like Son of Sam and others, and that's how they got into killing people. They said it started with porn.
Right.
And, you know, it can gravitate all the way to eating people, folks. I mean, you bring these spirits in, they'll begin to transform you. Transform you and I into a monster. And look at, you know, of course we know all the other ramifications. You get sexually transmitted disease. But many people don't talk about the sexually transmitted demons and the soul ties and all the wicked things that can result out of that can blow your mind. Look at Annalise. That famous case that was handled by the Catholic Church. She became promiscuous. And the demons blew her mind. When she came back from school, went back to her home in Germany, she didn't want to eat anymore. She'd begin to crawl around like an animal, would eat her own poop, and died of starvation. Nobody could help her from the Catholic Church. Very sad. You could get legion. And these things are just flying through your eye gates. And we invite them in. We've come into agreement with them. They have a legal right to come in because we gave place to them and we broke the hedge and now the viper has bitten. So choose your poison, folks. Drugs, alcohol, porno, sex outside of marriage, contact with the occult. You can blow your mind and blow yourself right away into eternity. This is serious business, and the demons are not wasting any time. They're coming in, and they're finding new ways to get in quicker than ever before, such as that drug that you mentioned, the new strain of marijuana that's coming through, right?
Fentanyl.
And fentanyl, too. Man, that sounds like that zombie powder that they make down in Haiti. You touch it, knock you out into a state that looks like you've died, and they bury you alive down there. Leave enough air so that you don't completely die. It turns you into vegetable, then they dig you back up and put you in the fields. They still do that stuff down in Port-au-Prince.
Scary. Scary.
And that's it. Just touch it. Goes right through the bloodstream. I saw some police. They were over there trying to help some people. And I don't know. They got a little bit of it on their finger or something. Or they inhaled a little bit of it, the powder. I don't know what happened. They came in contact with, knocked them out, almost killed them. There's some kind of shot that they have to give them, don't they, to save their life? I forget the name of it. It's like an injection. You can get it to the person in time. And last story, when I was in Las Vegas, I had my sinus had been stopped up for 2 weeks. I guess the pollen in Atlanta before that. And I got out there and I was trying to find something to open up my sinuses. Went into like a Rite Aid or a CVS, and I saw this drug. The name escapes me. You could buy it right there. And I'm like, what the heck's going on here? I guess it's such a problem. They're just making it readily available to people. Was it called Narcan?
I think sounds like Narcan.
Narcan. Is that what that stuff does? That was what it was.
Yeah.
You could buy it right there off the shelf.
Correct, yeah.
That's amazing. Narcan. I guess they've got so much overdose. I went off on a long tangent there. But, boy, look at the effects of sin. King David, all the way down, Absalom, was killed through rebellion. Anger at his brother who raped Tamar, his sister. And then another, look at his family was devastated. And then when Solomon became king, one of David's other brothers, sons tried to take the throne, and ultimately he had to be killed. It did not go well for David's descendants because of sins of the fathers. No different today. We could do these things and open up a door for generational curse, go down 3 and 4 generations. And I probably said this before too, but we had that own family, Freemasonry. Took my great-granddaddy out at 52. My grandfather out at 58. My dad died at 57. A year after, the Lord spoke to me in a dream and said, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break. I never heard the Lord before or after speak to me audibly in a dream. He's spoken to me through other ways since, through his word. But I actually heard him audibly, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break. If we had not broken that, I probably would be dead myself right now.
Right.
In fact, I was so thankful just to hit 54. I said, I've outlived my great-grandfather, who died at 52. And I believe we broke that generational curse. But sin has implications, folks, far more reaching than you and I may ever realize. And the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And Michael will tell you at HardcoreChristianity.com, he runs into cases every day with people that are battling demons. Some of them don't even make it out to you. The demon takes them out in a body bag before they can get to you. Folks, right. And devil wants you out in a body bag tonight, and me too. He's still working on us all. What do we do, Michael, to fight back?
Well, as you know, this is what you teach, that real deliverance can't be accomplished on a long-term basis without repentance.
Yes.
And the kind of deliverance they've got on the with these YouTube guys, there's about 8 guys on YouTube running all over the country. They have a nice anointing and they're good people, but they get a lot of manifestations, they get a lot of temporary deliverances, but without true repentance, nobody's going to get A, delivered, or B, stay delivered. Because as it says in Matthew 12 and Luke 11, the spirits come back and they see your body as a house. That's what Jesus said. They see us as a house.
Absolutely. Demons have legal rights. We need to confess our sins, renounce them, and then repent. What does it mean to repent, though?
Well, that's the Greek word metanoeo, and it means to make an about face. It was a military term. So the concept was you were marching this direction, and then boom, you made an about face and went back the other direction. And you do that with your mind and your free will. You're going this way, you're going north, you stop, and you go south. That's repentance. I've had people come to me thousands of times over the years saying, Brother Mike, I can't get delivered. I repent every day, and I have to explain to them, look, you're not repenting. Because repenting means to stop doing it. And they repent, and then they do it again, they repent, and they do it again. That's simply recycling spirits. You're just continually getting worse doing that.
It's like a revolving door, isn't it?
Yes.
Would that
repentance means that you stop doing it.
Would that explain why you can pray with someone and they come back 5 or 10 times with the same problem?
Correct, and that's why we give them what I call the miracle list, and we give them this material that they have to go through, and if they don't do it, we'll see them, maybe 2-3 more times, but if they're not doing the miracle list, they're not renewing their mind or repenting, then we have to let them go.
Michael, what does a person do out there if they have themselves been brought up where there's been some generational sin committed? What would have been your counsel if you could have ministered to one of the sons of King David back then before the enemy took their lives?
Well, you would take them through the process that John the Baptist and Jesus did. With number one, they would have to repent of their personal sin. And number two, they would have to repent of the sins of their fathers and their families and renounce it all. And then the person would have to surrender to Christ with godly sorrow, as Paul told the Corinthians. If you can't get someone to receive any Holy Spirit conviction, or they don't have any godly sorrow for what they've done to themselves, their family, and to the Lord, it's almost impossible to get demons out of them. So, in a lot of cases, and fortunately it's a smaller percent of them, people come to me and they don't get any deliverance. So conviction is one of the greatest blessings God ever gave us, because conviction is given to the person out of love. Condemnation is given to the person by demons to cause them guilt and shame. So if a Christian is convicted, it's actually the best thing that could happen to them, even though it's uncomfortable at the time. There's deliverance and healing just around the corner if the person will accept it and repent from the heart. And that's the way I pursue it in the counseling sessions.
Michael, if you look at deliverance ministry prior to Jesus, was it any of it really being done? You know, there's something that's interesting. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God is coming to you. Do you think it was possible that it wasn't until Jesus came that a person could even be set free? I mean, I know that David brought some soothing to King Saul when he played that harp. But was there really any deliverance going on prior to Christ? What's your thoughts on that?
The answer is, I'm not sure. And, you know, it's not in the Bible, but the Jews in antiquities, they had the writings of Solomon that aren't in our Bible. And one of his booklets, one of his scrolls, involved what to do with demonic oppression. And they had a series of rituals you went through. Now, whether this is true or not, I can't honestly say. And whether that was a divinely inspired book, I can't honestly say. But we do know historically that it may have been true that Solomon did write a book on demons, because the Jews and other civilizations did use rituals and potions and lotions and incense and other things to try to get rid of demons.
Sure.
I mean, but as far as I know, and again, I'm not sure, I don't want to say I know something when I don't. As far as I know, there wasn't any complete deliverance that we saw in the New Testament in the Old Testament, as far as I know.
Right. And, you know, how effective was it? Maybe they were able to get the demon out, but did that mean it didn't come back? So, good question. We don't have a lot of information, do we? We know about the Jewish exorcists, the sons of Sceva, that were trying to use, you know, whatever rituals that they did, sort of like the Catholic Church, not knowing, having a relationship with Jesus, casting him out in the demon, you know, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, and the demons turn around and basically they left butt naked, beat up. I don't know if you've ever seen this documentary, but there's one called 21st Century Exorcist that came out about 10 years ago. And it's a film crew that fall around this Colombian girl who's trying to get free. She knows she's got demons. And she's trying to get to a local priest, because she's a Catholic, to get some help. And she goes far and wide, even travels all the way to a conference to try to get a guy named Forti, I think is his name. He's like one of the Vatican's exorcists, very famous guy. He's written a couple books. And finally gets a private audience with him. The camera's not able to go beyond the doors, and so she comes out, but apparently she didn't get the freedom she was looking for. She's frustrated. And finally, the show ends with her taking a trip, and she goes over to another one of these Central American countries and finds a priest. I think it was Ecuador. Well, that would be South America. Ecuador, Peru. And they filmed the entire Catholic exorcism. And it's all in Spanish with English subtitles. And I'm following along, just reading the subtitles. But then I heard something in Spanish that I picked up on that was in the subtitles. I went back and listened again, and they didn't translate it. What had happened was this priest comes in, and they show you the ritual that he's doing. He reads these rites of exorcism. He's got this incense and this pot he's swinging around. He's got his candles. He's doing all these rituals, the rite of exorcism. And the only time I saw this demon really respond is occasionally he would say, Jesus Christ. And then there would be a marked response. But then the demon turned around at him and said, I know what you did last night. You were masturbating, weren't you? And the guy went pale-faced, and he was so shamed and shocked that his sins had found him out. He was probably doing porn. Maybe he was tuned into the porn hub. And he got so angry, he ended the exorcism. He said, I'm done with you. And then this is where it got interesting. This is what wasn't in the translation fully. I heard the demon speaking in Spanish to this lady. She said something like, you fool, don't you know why I got in? It's because her father raped her, molested her. And I was like, whoa. There it was. The demon just revealed its legal right to come in. It had come in because she had suffered sexual abuse through her father. And she didn't want to forgive him. On top of the horrible things she did, you know, she was dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness. Had a legal right to stay. And you know what? This guy ended the exorcism, and she went away. Undelivered. And the story ended there. I wrote the film crew. I found him on Facebook, and I said, hey, what happened to this girl? They said, we don't know. We lost her. I was going to try to find her. But what was interesting is the legal rights that the demons had to get in, and that shows you the extent of the success the Catholic Church has. They might get some demons out, but it's only when they say the name of Jesus Christ. All these rituals doesn't work. And, you know, I still give them credit, though. As much as I know they've got an ineffective deliverance ministry, by and large, from what I understand, I've never, you know, had any personal dealings with the Catholic Church exorcists, but at least they're trying over there. I will give them that credit. They do more than many Christian churches do.
What's the name of that movie?
It's called 21st Century Exorcist. And it's on a DVD, and then it gives you a second DVD that's got all the additional bonus material, including a full Catholic exorcism. If you can't find it, let me know. I've got a copy here. But,
all right.
Again, I just was curious. Thank God, though, we got power in the name of Jesus to cast these demons out. Hey, Michael, I know we're over time, but listen, there may be someone tuning in out there that said, hey, you know, this is me. I'm addicted to porno, or I had this running in the family line. You know, by the way, Marilyn Manson, you know, that guy's sick. He needs some help, right?
Huge.
But he can't. He honestly explained one day how he had went to the dark side. He was at his grandfather's house and was down in the basement as a young man, just, you know, going through some stuff in the basement, looking around, and he came across his grandfather's old 8mm films, pornography, and he witnessed his grandfather watching the porno and masturbating. And I think there was some bestiality that he found on those films too, if I'm not mistaken, in his testimony. But bottom line, no, he said pornography. And you know what? The demons came into that young man. And I think at one time his parents even took him to church. He went to a Christian school, if I'm not mistaken. That has taken down many a person. That may be one of, you think that could be one of the strongest demons known to man? Spirits of lust and porno?
No doubt.
In today's society, what can a person do if they said, hey, you know, I've been addicted to this for years, or my father was, or my mother was, in one relationship after the next. I had 10 stepfathers. You know, what have you. And not only that, but maybe they've got drugs and alcohols, or addicted to weed. Any of these vices out there, what can a person do tuning in today?
We see those people delivered all the time. They can contact me by phone if they live in the area, 602-636-5800. In addition, you can contact me on my website, or you can contact me by email, mike@hardcorechristianity.com. And if you happen to live in the area, you can come in for a free counseling appointment. We don't charge for born-again Christians for counseling services.
Mike,
We have two live services every week, Thursday and Friday nights at 7 o'clock Arizona time, 7 o'clock Pacific time. And the teachings and the deliverance services live are all showed on our YouTube teaching channel. Go to youtube.com/houseofhealingaz.
Okay, House of Healing AZ. Also, do you have any materials that they can order online from you if they want to learn? Maybe they're overseas.
I do. I wrote a book on the root cause and cure of mental illness. It's called Planet Spirits. That's a very unique book showing how people, Christians, can be delivered from mental illness. I've never seen anything like it in the United States. It's a very unique book. I also have another book on healing and another one on Satan. If you go to hardcorechristianity.com and hit the store page, you can order those books online, or they can be downloaded digitally. But if you contact us, send me an email, mike@hardcorechristianity.com. I'll send you the miracle list, a step-by-step guide to deliverance and healing. It works 100% of the time if they will do it, and I'll send it out immediately.
Michael, if someone would like to support your ministry, is there a way they can do that? You have PayPal, Cash App, Zelle, anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We have Zelle. We have PayPal on the website. And the address is there. Some people mail us checks every month. That's great. In our ministry, we're different than other ones. Nobody takes a salary here, including myself and my wife. So if you send any donations in, it all goes right directly into the ministry, not to salaries.
Michael, something to consider. You ought to work on a book or booklet on deliverance from spirits of pornography. I bet you that would set free many in the church, including some pastors out there.
It's a great idea.
That's the ugly secret out there. Many are addicted to porn, even in the pulpit. Thank you for coming on. You want to close us in prayer?
I appreciate being on. Thank you for your invite. Lord, we went over generational curses tonight, and there's a pattern in the family tree that is easy to see if they have generational curses. But Galatians chapter 3 reveals that Christ was made a curse for us, and that generational curse can be broken 100% by faith and repentance. And if anybody needs help, Lord, I'll do my very best to help them. Thank you for my time again on Omega Man. Amen.
Amen. What would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
Generational curses or something like that.
Awesome. Hey, Michael, before you go, if you're not already doing this, you ought to look at doing some YouTube shorts, Facebook reels, and even doing some mini teachings on TikTok. Are you on any of those right now, doing any short teachings?
No, that's a good idea. I should be doing that.
Yep, that's how you go viral. Okay, God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael W. Smith, HardcoreChristianity.com. Folks, did you enjoy tonight? If you're just joining me, we started at 7 with Ron and Miriam Cohen. We had Don Jeffries. We had Joseph Rohr, and that was Michael W. Smith. I'm going to be back at 4 a.m. here in about 4.5 hours. We're going to do a program with Katrina Mackay. That'll be 10 a.m. in Germany. And if you're asleep, no worries. It will be posted later tomorrow. And she's an old friend. She's got a book out, and I want to bring her on for the first time to speak. Wednesday, we're going to have Michael Cummins in our international morning shows. We'll be back, of course, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. We've got a full marathon, 5 shows tomorrow night. I'll get these shows uploaded for you. I'm going to work on some new bonus shows as well today. We got everything from the weekend uploaded already. Go to my website, OmegaManRadio.com. If God puts it on your heart to support this ministry, you'd like to help fuel it, we have many ways now that you can do that. Just go to OmegaManRadio.com. I signed up for some new places over the weekend. You can go PayPal. We got Zelle, GoFundMe, Cash App, Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, Stripe, and even some crypto wallets. There's plenty of ways to support this program if you want to. And I want to say thank you in advance to all those that do. God bless you. With that, we'll see you next time. Have a great night in Jesus' name.